Well, this morning, normally you get asked the question, how was your week? But I want to ask you a different question this morning. It's a very simple question. Most of us probably give this very little thought. How's your week going to be? This is the first day of the week. How's your week going to be? How do you think it's going to work out? Have you given it much thought? Have you really stopped to think really that much about it? Or is it when you stop to think about it, you think, oh no, another week's coming. I hope I can make it. I hope I can just get through it. Or do you have another thought with, well, there's so many things, Dane, that I have no control over this coming week? And I would agree with you, and I say, you're right. There are a lot of things that are going to happen to you, good and the bad and the between, that you have no control over. But here is what you do have control over. How are you going to respond to this week and what's brought to you? What's put on your plate? When someone surprises you with a phone call, maybe your boss asks one more thing of you and you're thinking, I've already got 100 to do and I don't know when I'm going to get those done. Or maybe you're thinking, what if a child comes to me and has a request that I just can't react to in a proper way this week? Your choice is your choice this week. There are so many things that you and I cannot control. But the way we respond to the way this week goes, we do have a choice how we respond to that. And today, as part of that choice of how we respond, I want us to look at something very specific that's found in the Bible. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we've been talking about spiritual gifts over the next X amount of weeks. And God has spoken to us and shown us a lot. And if you haven't taken that spiritual gift test online, get busy doing it, okay? Get busy doing it. I know probably 3/4 of you spend ample amount of time on the computer, and there's some of you, and I won't call you by name, spend a lot of time on Facebook, okay? Because I know it, because I see it on there. You take up my page on Facebook when I'm looking at it, okay? But we've been talking about spiritual gifts. Today I want us to talk a little bit about fruit of the Spirit, though. When I was a kid growing up, probably about 6 or 7 years old, we were living in Kentucky at the time, of course, and I remember one day we lived in a small town. But I remember one day, and I bet my dad doesn't remember this, my mom would, but she's in the back, where my friend and I came home with a bucket full of grapes. They were the green kind of grapes. And I was really excited because I thought, this is so cool. Look what I get to show my parents what my friend and I did. We did something nice and special. We were going to share those grapes. I came through the door with that bucket full of grapes. My parents were not quite as excited as I was. Do you know why? Where did I get them? We don't have a grape tree. Okay? My neighbor did. And I came through that door with those grapes, and I just remember the fact that how quickly my joy turned into extreme concern for my physical well-being. Okay? True, true. I know my mom and dad are sweet and kind people, but you don't want to make my mom mad. Okay? You just don't want to. But I remember one of the things I had to do was I had to go take my bucket of grapes with my friend and go to the neighbor and knock on the front door and show them the bucket of grapes that I had picked for them. But the lady who lived there was very gracious, and she was very kind and very gentle and exhibited self-control, which we're going to read about as part of the fruit of the Spirit in just a moment. And she wasn't mad. She wasn't angry because I hadn't done something from a malice heart. I had done something from a heart that wanted to please somebody. And so today, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, I want you to keep in mind that it is the fruit of the Spirit, but there's qualities within that fruit. There's qualities within that fruit. And today, we get to have a part of that fruit of the Spirit that the world, the flesh, and the devil may try to steal, but we don't have to let it be stolen. And that it's not somebody else's. It's ours when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I want you to think about this as we go and we look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23, John. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Pause for a moment and ask you something. Did you see a lot of that this week, both in the mirror and where you went to work, amongst your family, maybe wherever you went throughout the week to shop or hang out? Did you see much of that? Because I want you to know, when I kind of go through life, I don't exactly see an overabundance of that in our world today. Okay? And sometimes the fact of the matter is, I don't see a lot of it in the mirror some days. Okay? There are some days that that self-control thing kind of just seems to be flying out the window right by me. Okay? But let's look at what is the fruit of the Spirit quickly. Because we've got three things here. The first one is this. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Character traits that are found in Jesus. You stop for a moment and you think, can you not think of an example of every one of those that Jesus displayed while he walked on earth? I often think of the little children coming to Jesus. Children discern quickly, don't they, about who's gentle and who's kind, who they feel comfortable around. The Bible tells us in numerous places the little children came to Jesus. They came to Him. Did He not exhibit kindness to the leper? He reached out and He touched the leper. These are all examples of Jesus displaying the fruit of the Spirit that was in Him. And you know something too about that self-control? Some of you might be thinking, well, what about that day in the temple when He got angry? Let me tell you something. He exhibited self-control because if He hadn't, lightning would have came down and they would all been struck dead. He exhibited self-control because He was still doing the will of the Father, because that was righteous indignation. He wasn't angry at the people. He was angry at the sin. He exhibited self-control even in the midst of being in an upset condition. So you can think of those examples, character traits that are found in Jesus. But number two, spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit that's working on the inside to affect the outside. It's not just something that goes on in the inside, but it changes the way we act, the way we talk, the way we think, the way we behave on the outside. It affects us. And number three, it's seed-bearing fruit. Fruits have seeds in them, don't they? It's a fruit that has a seed in it that can be planted again and again to reproduce. Not just something for you to own on your own and display, but something that goes and plants. Tell me how powerful witness it is. If the places that you went just this past week, and the people you talk to at different times, if they saw that fruit displayed in your life, if they could look in your eyes and see the love and see the joy. Yesterday when we were at the mall, I have to tell you, personally, first of all, I was watching Terry because I don't know all the steps that well, but I never did pay attention to who was watching around us because I love that song so much. Even if we had never danced that song, I love that song. And he gets to that part, that Sunday morning, I get goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps talking about right now. I just get goosebumps because I'm picturing that early Sunday morning. What an awesome thing it would have been to have danced that Sunday morning when the tomb was empty. But it's a seed-bearing fruit, giving it away. Not hoarding it, but giving it away. So those are some things this morning I want you to think about. The fruit of the Spirit and what it is and how it can affect us. But then let's look at producing it. Let's apply it to our lives. And the first one is this, producing the fruit of the Spirit makes us like Jesus. It really is that simple. It's not better or less than. It is Jesus with skin on. Gifts of the Spirit that we've been talking about the last few weeks, they are given to serve Him, serve the body, and evangelize the world. But the fruit of the Spirit, when we apply it to our lives, it's a being over doing. It becomes a part of who we are. It is a be before it's a do. You don't do some of these things unless you are them. How often have you prayed for patience this week? How often have you thought about if I was just a little bit more patient? Well, let God transform your life to where the fruit of the Spirit becomes a being patient, being kind. The fruit of the Spirit is there to make us be something for Christ. This being Christ-like, don't get caught up in the doing. Get caught up in allowing the transform of the Holy Spirit so you can become and be this. Don't think of doing kind or gentle and patience, but think of being kind, of being gentle, of being patient. Yesterday, I'm not really sure what all the people thought. They were probably walking by in the mall when we were dancing. Okay, I don't really know what they thought. I do care what they think, because I believe we're there bringing glory and honor to God. But we were doing something out of our being. We were being self-controlled. and we were being love. And I believe on that video it's hard to see, and my face probably doesn't reflect it because I was trying to keep up the steps, but I believe we were being joy. I believe people could see, wait, there's joy there. There is joy in those people. So producing the fruit of the Spirit makes us like Jesus. Number two, producing the fruit of the Spirit results from Christ being in control. Producing the fruit of the Spirit results from Christ being in control. We cannot obtain this on our own. We can't get this without His help. We can't become the people of God on our own. We talked about this a lot in the early service about step of maturity. You can't do it on your own. We can't do this without, because, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more, talk about this at 9:30 also, you become that which you're attached to, and you should be attached to the living vine of Christ. So you're not going to produce the fruit of the Spirit without Him. Impossible. It's the way God built it. It's the way God made us. It's impossible to produce the fruit of the Spirit without the help of Jesus Christ in your life. This past week, just last week, I had one of the coolest opportunities to share Christ with somebody that I've ever had in my entire life. I met a gentleman earlier last week, and we were talking, and I asked him a very simple question, that question I ask a lot of people. Is Jesus Lord of your life? And he goes, well, you know, Jesus is kind of like my helper. I said, well, okay, He's your helper. All right? We talked a little bit more, and I let him just share a little bit more of what was kind of going on in his life, and it's a very rough life he's had up to this point, and so forth. And I came back around, and I said, but can you tell me that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life? And he looked at me and said, you know, I can honestly say He's not Lord and Savior of my life. I said, well, why don't we change that today? Why don't we pray to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life? I said, would you do that with me today? He said, well, sure, I'd like to do that. And we prayed, and I want you to know, one of the things that I do when I'm praying with somebody like that, it's one of those deals where I pray and they follow behind me. But I also don't want people to always assume that when they pray that prayer, that all of a sudden the marching band's going to come through the door, and that someone's going to serve a cake up, and that all of a sudden all the problems in their life are going to be erased and they're good to go, that the consequences of sin is just done. I don't want anybody to leave me with that illusion, okay? And up until this point, this gentleman had been sharing a lot of rough things that he had, by choice, he had faced some of the consequences, and then some things that not by choice had just had come into his life. And we prayed to receive Christ. And I remember, I'll never forget this. It's one of those lasting memories when I can't even remember my name. And Cameron's coming to visit me in the nursing home and changing my Depends or something. But after we did that, he prayed to receive Christ. I looked at him, I said, now listen to me. I don't know if you feel differently, but you are different. I said, this is not the time to trust your feelings. You are different. And because of some of the things in his life, he wears really dark sunglasses. He took off his sunglasses and he looked at me. Now listen to me very carefully, okay, because I'm getting goosebumps already. He said, no. When we prayed, this wave of courage came over me. He said, I was filled like I could stand and be the man of God that I'm supposed to be. I felt courage just come over me. And I said, praise God. That is awesome. But for the first time in his life, he saw that giving Christ the control, that things could be different. Instead of living under the burden of fear and doubt and anxiety, he was beginning to understand what it's like to walk in freedom. So important. Producing the fruit of the Spirit results from Christ being in control. Number three, producing the fruit of the Spirit has the power to change. What I tell you earlier, what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's a seed-bearing plant. It's a seed-bearing fruit. It has the power to change. Look what Proverbs 15:1 says. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know what I believe most of us think? When a harsh word comes our way, if I can just think of the right reply, I can show them. I can one-up them. I can put them in their place. I can set them straight. But Proverbs says, wait a second, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. What about being patient? Being patient. Being patient, not doing patient, being patient helps us stay the course while God is working. Being faithful and loving, being these things, oh, they can really help with some serious unforgiveness issues. If you're choosing to be love and be loving and faithful. And peace. What did Jesus say? Blessed are the peacemakers. Can God trust you to be a peacemaker? Because you know, something talking about, Si was talking about those no-bake cookies. By the way, I love those too. So if we, hey Jay, if we overflow the four boxes, I got tabs on, okay? Dibs on me. All right. Are you trying to tell me something? Point being is this. You can't make something if you're missing an ingredient, can you? How can you be a peacemaker if you don't have peace? How can you be something that you don't have to give away? Can God trust you to be a peacemaker? Because you see, this fruit is visible, and people can see a difference in you because it isn't just for you, it is for others. It is for the world that's hurting. And you know the world's hurting. It may be hurting right at your house right now. You might have a neighbor that's dying. You may have a coworker that's just dying by inches. They need to see this fruit. It is visible. So what kind of fruit are you displaying? Because contrary to that fruit, let's look at the acts of the world. They're not up there. We looked at them earlier at 9:30 because it starts in verse 19 of chapter 5 in Galatians. Here is some acts if we let the sinful nature control us. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. The world that I see and around is full of those acts. We need to see the fruit of the Spirit born by the body of Christ right now in our country, right now. Not get around to it later. Not get around to it when we're in the mood. Not get around to it when it's convenient. Right now, right where you go and right where you live, right where you have been given the privilege of serving God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. So, how do we go about producing this fruit? Well, ask yourself this first thing. This is not the first question, John. But ask yourself, what type of fruit are you producing anyway? You know, dead fruit gets thrown away. Dead fruit doesn't bring nourishment. Dead fruit, the seeds die within it. Dead fruit gets tossed out. Producing the fruit of the Spirit is essential for the kingdom to be advanced. So how do we produce it? Number one, examine the quality of the fruit you have been producing. Examine it. Be honest with yourself. Have you been producing the fruit of the Spirit on a consistent basis? Why? Why not? Examine the quality of the fruit you've been producing. Because there's one thing about it, guys. There's a lot of things about it, but here's one thing to think about is this. An apple tree can say all day long it's producing oranges, but it's still producing apples. The truth always bears itself out. Okay? Just because maybe you or I aren't being honest about the fruit that we have been producing, those who know us best know exactly what kind of fruit we've been producing, don't they? They know exactly. I'm thankful that I don't have to bring Kathy and Cameron up here to ask them what kind of fruit I've been producing. Okay? I'm thankful for that. So be honest with yourself. What kind of fruit have you been producing? I know if you wonder, if you need some examples of what kind of fruit the world's been producing, I would encourage you this week, go to Walmart on a Saturday. Go to where the cheapest gas is in town. Okay? See? you feel my pain, don't you, Joel? Because it can get ugly at those places. Go somewhere where someone's been waiting in line and someone cuts in front of them. Okay? Because personally, somebody was telling me yesterday, somebody was headed to Home Depot yesterday. Who was headed to Home Depot yesterday? Somebody, maybe it wasn't in here. They were headed to Home Depot. And I said, well, Home Depot's fine going on Saturday unless you need help. Because if you got to go on Saturday and you actually have a question about something, forget it. Forget about it, okay? Because you can see people walking up and down those aisles with that look on their face. You probably had that look. I know I had that look plenty of times, okay? So examine the quality of the fruit. Be honest with yourself. And number two, understand there is a process. Realize something. Yes, you asked Jesus into your life. And yes, you've been given the Spirit of Christ in your life. And yes, He is changing you. But this doesn't happen just like that. It doesn't just happen like that. Understand there's a process. Understand that God is working. We talked about this a lot at 9:30. God is maturing you. Are you cooperating, though? Are you going along with the process? Or have you dug your heels in and said, I'm done. I'm good. This is as good as I'm ever going to get. This is it. This is as far as I'm going to grow. Because if you've done that, then let me tell you something. God loves you so much, He'll let you dig your heels in, but He'll also let you deal with the consequences of stubbornness too. Okay? So understand there's a process and that God is in the process of making you more and more and myself just like Jesus. I just read this week, I love reading stories about Corrie ten Boom and her father. His name was, his real name, this is true, Casper ten Boom, okay? All right, that's his real name. And some of you may know this, but he was a watchmaker. And he was one of the first people, he and his family, that would hide the Jews when they were being hunted down by the Nazis. And he would do that over and over and over, okay? He'd just take people into his family. They did all kinds of elaborate things to hide them. They built secret rooms. They had to set the table. I don't know if you know this or not, but when the Nazis would come to your door, they knew how many people were in your house. If there were more chairs or more plates out on the table than your family said they have, then you were automatically arrested for hiding Jewish people. Casper and his family became staunch Jewish supporters, okay? But they finally arrested him, and he was 80 years old when they arrested him in 1943. And they took him to jail, and because he was so old and so elderly, they said, look, we know you've been doing it. And he said, yeah, I've been doing it. I've been hiding them for years now. He said, I tell you what, since you're so old, and really what they were saying was, since you won't be any good in the work camps, we're going to let you go back home. But the only way we're going to let you go back home is if you promise to not do this anymore. He simply looks at him and says, let me tell you something. You let me out today, and tomorrow I'm at home, and someone knocks on my door, and they need refuge, I'm saying, come on in. He says, because that is who I am. That is what I do. That is part of who I am. So they said, well, then we'll have to send you to a work camp. He died 3 days later after he got into a work camp. But do you understand something? He couldn't go against who he was, because it had become such a part of his being that his doing was affected by it. He could not do that which he already was inside, because he was a lover of people. He was a lover of God's people specifically. But he understood there was process. He didn't just get there overnight. He just didn't wake up at 80 years old and say, you know what, I love God's chosen people. No. He had already been growing in the process. Then when it come time to find out, are you with me, Casper, are you not with me? He says, God, I'm with you to the end, because that's who I am. That's who I am, and it affects what I do. And thirdly, stay connected to the true vine. And no, for 9:30, Rick and I did not talk about, Rick went over the same verse at 9:30, and I was laughing when you pulled it up, Rick, because go ahead. It says in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus says it perfectly. Without Him, you will die without producing any fruit. Without Him, life will be purposeless. Without Him, it will be fruitless, because fruit will always grow as be a product of growth. Fruit will be a product of growth. No roots, no fruits. I'd also ask you this morning. What in your life is choking this out? What in your life is choking this out? What worry is it that you just can't seem to get rid of? What anxiousness keeps you weighed down? Where is it you need some freedom in your life? Where is it that you're struggling to hold on? You're saying, I know I need to hold on to that vine. I know. But you're just struggling. You feel like you're grasping at air. And Jesus is saying, I've got you. I've got you. Where is it? Be honest with yourself. Because the fruit of the Spirit is simply to birth a Christ-like heart and mind. What Jesus did when he walked this earth, we get the privilege of having the opportunity to do the exact same thing. You may never be called to go to a leper colony, but there's someone, somebody's probably, that God will give you the privilege of praying for that nobody else wants to get near. You may be the person that children are just attracted to so you can bless them. You might be the one that comes in contact with somebody tomorrow, wherever you might go, that's spitting mad, that just wants to just rip somebody a new one. And you might be the one that offers the gentle answer. They may not be angry at you, but you might be the person that offers that gentle answer. You can be the hands and feet of Jesus, but you can't be that without being tied to the vine. You cannot be producing fruit on your own tomorrow. So we got to stay connected to the vine. We got to understand there's a process, and we have to examine the quality of the fruit we've been producing. So this morning, before I pray for us, ask yourselves those things. Think about those things. But ask yourself simply, where is this getting choked out in my life? Where have I let things choke this out in my life? Because God is wanting to produce what kind of crop? 30, 60, and 100 fold. He's been planting seeds. He's looking for fertile soil. Are you giving him a good place to plant fertile soil? He desires to plant it where it's going to produce 100 fold, not where it's going to be weeds infested. I've told some of you this before. My dad loved to garden when I was growing up. We really didn't have, and I know you think I'm exaggerating this, but since we had a garden, our garden was probably about half the size of our entire property here. Okay? No, it was probably more. It was actually probably about 2/3 of our property. We did not own a tractor. Teenagers, you probably don't even know what this is. We owned a tiller. Okay? One of those little things you walk behind. Not one of those fancy suckers that kind of pulls itself. I'm telling you, it turned over on me a lot. I mean, because that thing was fine. And one of the things my dad could not stand is he didn't want to see one weed in his garden. The weed was the enemy. Okay? And unfortunately, I was anointed as the exterminator often. Okay? And some of you have never had the privilege of weeding such as squash plants or watermelon plants or cucumber plants. But they grow on a vine. They grow out on top of the ground. And I still remember the summer that my dad said, you know, I need you to weed all the squash. I thought, Lord, that'd be a lot of vines, because you had to move every one of them. So you just didn't get the weed around. You had to pick it up and move it, then weed. You picked it up and move it. It was hours. But my dad knew something, that the weeds would hurt the produce, that it wasn't good for it. And we were going to enjoy that in just a little while. So today, that's why I'm encouraging you to examine yourself. If there are weeds, let's clean them out. What's God saying to you today? In just a moment, you'll have a chance to respond. And I pray that you respond. You know, I saw something up here. I was back there worshiping. Thank you, Garrett, for sharing that about worship, by the way, this morning. That was good. And I wanted to tell you that I saw something about these boxes. You might want to come this morning and just pray over them. No, we don't have names on them. We don't know which person will get them. This morning, you might want to pray over them. Because I can promise you, I guarantee you, I have personal knowledge that the four that we're sending these boxes for, they're counting on us praying for them. They're not hoping. They're counting on it. Okay? It may be a box with some cookies in it, but it represents the tangible fruit of people's obedience. Okay? So this morning, Rick and Regina and our life group leaders and Kathy and I will be up here for prayer. If you need prayer about something, maybe you just want to come pray at the altar. Maybe you want to come pray over these boxes. Okay? But I invite you to join what God is doing in your life, not what man's trying to manipulate, not what the world, the flesh, the devil's trying to tug at you about and steal from you. But what is God doing in your life that you need to cooperate with today? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you today that only because of your mercy and your grace are we here. I mean, God, we don't deserve all the love you pour on us. We don't deserve all the awesome blessings that you give us. You just do it because you love us. It's who you are. What a great dad to have you in heaven on our side. And I pray today, God, that whatever's stern of you, God, may we trust you that you're stirring it because you do love us, not because of out of bitterness or anger, but God, because out of love. I pray, God, we cooperate with you today. God, forgive us of our sins this day. Pray that, God, we can start with a clean slate. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name.